Well, welcome to the Repost Non-League Show, and we're here for the next hour. And it's really pleased to say that we're back for another episode in season 15. And really pleased to say for the first time, we've got Mark from Alvechurch joining us, and it's great to have you on, Mark.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
And of course, we've got the man himself, the star of non-league football, star of BT Sport, eh? And now the superstar of League Two. It's Mr. Of course, you've got Mr. Neil Smith. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Good to see you.
So I'm interested to ask before we start, and it's a how do you feel? And I'm going to go straight in with this with a question, and there's a reason behind this question, and and I'm not going to ask the question to Mark because I'm not going to do that, but I would like your opinion, Neil. How, if you're in the FA, if you're in an FA Cup, and you're in the FA Cup, and as a non-league side when he was with Cray, and you're playing a team that's going to be a step, two steps higher than you in the FA Cup coming up, and it's on Saturday, and you've got a game midweek, and your league turn around to you and say, "Sorry, you've got to play midweek. We're not going to cancel it." Bad thing or a good thing?
Well, you'd hope the league that you're in would try and help you out, give you the best chance possible. It's a great chance for the non-league clubs, lower down non-league clubs as well, to try and make some money from being in the cup. So you'd like to help, like them to help you out, and it's not hard to rearrange a game. I think that the other opposition would understand it, because it is so important for the lower league clubs to, get on getting these good cup runs, generate a bit of money, generate a bit of publicity, and hopefully that gives them a chance to set them up a little bit. So, yeah, you'd like a little bit of leeway from it being in the league, because there are so many Tuesday nights where you can make that game up.
Yeah, and whatever league it is, if it's if it's a Northern League, it's an Essex Senior League, if it's a Corinthian League, or if it's the Scheffel League, wherever it might be, you'd get to that stage where you'd think, look, you've got to look after your clubs and try and do the best you can for them.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, as I say, it's a conversation to be had, and I don't see any losers from it. The league would obviously love their clubs in their league and division to do well. Obviously, the club that itself wants to do well and wants to give it the best chance, as I say, to earn a little bit of money and get a bit of recognition. It all generates good publicity. I know it's a league game and they're your bread and butter games as well, but as I say, there's always a Tuesday night where you can rearrange it. And as long as the club's okay with it, the opposition, then I don't see that being a problem.
Absolutely. Well, there was a draw today. Before we go to and have a chat with Mark, we can have a chat with Mark first, if that's all right.
Of
But
course.
but the draw has come out today for the FA Trophy, next round of the FA Trophy. And just in case anybody hasn't seen it, it's Hyde United versus Warrington Town, Ashton United versus Clitheroe, Dunstan versus Warrington Rylands, Woking versus FC of Manchester, Stockton Town versus Lowerbeck, Silsden versus Stocksbridge Park Steels, Runcorn Linnets or Bury versus Morpeth Town, Widnes or Bamber Bridge should be the tie, but Widnes have pulled out, so Bamber Bridge get an automatic bye. Bridlington Town versus Guiseley, Bradford Park Avenue versus Heaton Stannington, Whitby Town versus Hepburn Town, Prescott Cables versus Lancaster City, Evesham United versus Ilkeston Town, Gainsborough Trinity versus Shifnal Town, Barwell versus Bromsgrove Sporting, Sporting Club Inkborough versus Stratford Town, Rushall Olympic versus Sporting United, Anston Nomads versus Stourbridge, Quorn, which I still think is a fantastic name for a club, Quorn versus Corby Town, Real Bedford versus Stamford, AFC Rushden and Diamonds versus Malvern Town, Howes Owen Town against Leek Town, St Ives Town versus Kettering Town, Worcester City versus Rugby Town, Marks Alvechurch drawn away to Bashford United. Big journey that, Mark, or is that just round the corner for you?
It's not too bad. It's a reasonable journey, but one of the average ones. But we haven't played them for a couple of seasons, but we are very used to playing them. They've been at step three in our league for a good while, and obviously not for the last couple of seasons, but it'd be nice to renew acquaintances with them.
And we've got Harborough Town versus Hensford Town, Cleethorpes Town versus Redditch United, Stanway Rovers versus Uxbridge, Royston Town versus Welling United, Hanwell Town Greys, Westfield versus Brentwood Town, Leatherhead Ramsgate, Abley St Albans, Carshalton Athletic versus Cheshunt, Broadbridge Heath versus Billericay, Hadley versus Dartford, Harrowborough versus Witham, Lewes versus Leeston, Cray Wanderers versus Berkhamsted, AFC Sudbury versus Bury Town, Chertsey Town versus Tilbury, Burgess Hill Town versus Potters Bar Town. One you might be interested in, Neil. I don't know if you noticed already. Bishop Stortford versus Cray Wanderers. That's a humdinger, isn't
Yeah, wow, blimey.
it? Wingate and Finchley versus VCD, Chatham versus Needham, Ashford United versus Biggleswade, Hayes and Yedding versus Walton and Hirsch, Sittingbourne versus Hashtag, the mighty Waltham Abbey against Walthamstow, Whitehawk versus Canvey, Dulwich versus Hendon, Dunstable versus Folkestone and Victor, Bracknell Town, Hungerford, Basingstoke versus Shaftesbury, Hartspur versus Gloucester, Plymouth Parkway versus Gosport Borough, Dorchester Town versus Bideford, Thamesmead, Banbury, Bishop's Cleeve versus Sholing, Yate Town versus Poole, Porchester versus Taunton, Chichester City versus Farnham Town, Havant Waterlooville versus Tiverton, and then the last but not least, Wimborne Town versus Weymouth. Any ties there, Mark, that you look at and think, wow, that's going to be a tie and a half?
Yeah, as is going to be a tight one.
Ha.
They're always competitive, aren't they? They're always close games. Nobody tends to run away with them, especially when you're matched at the same sort of level. But no, looking forward to it. And we've had some good cup runs over the last few years, and it's only 3 seasons ago now when we got to the second round proper, having beat Cheltenham in the first round proper of the FA Cup. So we're hoping for something similar as we go along this journey.
And of course, Saturday you do take on, is it Chelsea City? Is that?
Chelmsford, yeah, so step higher.
Yeah, that's going to be a cracking game because Spencer Gore was only on this show a few weeks ago and he's got big plans for Chelmsford. So he's at Alvechurch.
That's at our place, yeah, and I'm hoping that when they turn up at our place and they see the slopey little pitch and the clubhouse that could have been knocked down a few years ago, and they don't fancy it. They've got some good players in there. The lad who was at Birmingham last season before last, Lyle Taylor, playing up front for them. They've got some very good players. But again, you look at our side and you look at the likes of Christian Pearce. He's got 300 or 400 league games under his belt, and we've got one or two of them in our side to go with the young players as well. So we'll certainly give it a go.
And of course, you've got a very big manager as well.
We have both in size and stature,
Ah,
with Tim Flowers, yeah, and he's been great. I worked with Tim. I was sporting director at Solihull Moors in the National League some years ago, and Tim was the manager, and we finished 1 point outside going into the Football League. Leighton Orient pipped us, and then we got beat in the playoffs. So I knew all about Tim when we tried to get Tim into our place. And if you've got an infrastructure around Tim, he's one of the best I've seen in terms of analytics and opposition analysis. He's superb, and if everything's taken care of around the infrastructure of the first team, then we've got a very good chance of being successful. And touch wood, that's how it's panning out so far this year. We've started well.
and I mean, yeah, I mean, with Alvechurch, I mean, for people that don't know too much about the club, I mean, tell us how you got involved in the club and tell us a little bit about the club itself.
Well, I got involved. This is 4 years for me now. As I say, I was at Solihull Moors for about 7 years. Most of my background has been in pro football at levels such as head of youth, head of recruitment. I worked with Alex McLeish with Birmingham with the first team the year they got to the Carling Cup final. And then I had due to an accident with my son was a player at under 16 at Birmingham. He got hit by a car and had a serious brain injury. I changed track really and went into something that was close to home and close to him. So I went in at Solihull Moors. We were in the National League North at the time with Marcus Bignett as the manager, and we won it. So into the National League. And I stayed there for nearly 7 years at Solihull Moors as sporting director. And then eventually I went to Leamington. And then from Leamington, the chairman of Alvechurch and one of the directors put a proposal to me to come into Alvechurch, and I've been there ever since for the last 4 years. And the big thing that attracted me to Alvechurch was we own our own training ground. We're a Step 3 club, but we operate in the daytime.
We do 3 mornings a week. There's so many local teams in a close geographical area to us that we had to do something different to compete. So we only get 300 fans. We couldn't compete on the fan front, but where we can compete is we bring players in from professional football clubs, and we have a great reputation of getting them back into the game again. And we do things that they're used to. So they come in, they have breakfast, they do the training, they go to the gym, they come back, they have lunch. So they're used to that. And those lads who need another year or two before you really make a decision on them. We've had some really good rewards with players going back into the pro game and higher up the pyramid. So that was a big attraction for me with Alva Church was the daytime model. We've just got outline planning permission now for a new stadium. It's actually been in planning for 6.5 years. We finally got outline planning for that. So all that's missing on the training ground is the new stadium, and that's earmarked for. We've got a 20-acre site, so we've got the 3G, we've got the offices, we've got paddle courts, we've got the grass pitches, and now we're just waiting to build a new stadium over the next 18 months.
Well, you know a bit about that, Neil, didn't you? About waiting for a new stadium.
Well, Craig Wanderers did, however many years, but to finally get that go ahead to open it and build it, it generates a massive feeling around the place. And the club has a home, has a base, and it's a hub for not just the first team, but all the youth teams and the girls team, the women's team, and it just generates a nice, momentum around the club.
I remember, Mark, we talked about, especially with the Craig Wanderers, when we first started doing the show. We were doing it, I think, after maybe the first year or second year we were doing it, and the Craig chairman came on,
Lost your sound.
and the Craig chairman came on. He came on, and he basically came and spoke to us, and he was then talking to us and saying about how they're nomads and they need to get a ground and all the rest of it, and that was some sort of 13 years ago. And of course, they finally succeeded last year. So it was fantastic for them.
Well, it's generated a hell of a lot of enthusiasm and excitement because, the ground where we are in the village of Alva Church, you're in a village with 5,000 residents, whereas where we've moved to, where the training ground is and where we operate from, you're talking about 150,000 residents. So it's a real game changer. And as Neil mentioned there before, we've got 54 junior teams. You've got the women, you've got the 10 girls teams, you've got mental health team, disability team, and a lot going on in the community and the schools as well. So football and education program with 45 students on there. So it's a really big operation at our place and a real professional operation as well, even though we're competing at step three. So
And that surprised me, Mark, because I didn't realise Alva Church was such a big club as it is. I mean, 54 youth sides, just taking that's incredible.
absolutely, yeah. So it's a lot going on. There's a lot going on Monday to Sunday. It's full where we are. We're very lucky that we've got that training ground and it's full, and you're generating revenue through the food and beverage side of things as well. And with the paddle courts, with the football and education, that's how we have to do it. We have to bring revenue in that way rather than through the crowd. And the other thing we do with our players is we generate jobs for them. So we've got two of the lads are full time in the school. So finish training at 1 o'clock, have their lunch, and then they go off to the schools. One of the lads is the groundsman as well. I mentioned Christian Pierce before. They call him Chief. He's 300 or 400 league games. He was working on the football and education scheme. So in order for us to compete and pay them higher wages, we give them jobs around the site and around the community as well. So it's quite a unique setup.
Yeah, so sounds like a great club to be part of. So, I mean, with the ground, when you move to the new ground and start building, is that going to be near the training centre, or is that going to be instead of the training park?
Going to be on the training site, the same centre now. The training centre is 20-acre site, and as I said, we've got the 3G, we've got the grass pitches, and we've got the area earmarked for the new stadium as well, all on that site.
Wow. Is that going to be outside the town, or is that so that's going to be outside the town?
It's just on the borders of South Birmingham and Worcestershire, so it's adjacent to really.
And I mean, the team itself does had a great run in, sort of very late August and through September. You've gone a 4-2 win against Barwell, 3-0 against Royston, 1-0 against Halsall, 3-0 against Leamington, and then 1-0 against newly promoted Bury Town, and it's going really well, isn't it? And then you've got what, a midweek game against Worcester.
We've got Worcester tomorrow night. The best thing about the 5-game run that we've just had is no goals against either. Touch wood. So, yeah, we could do without that game tomorrow night. Let's be totally honest. But with the FA Cup game coming up on Saturday, but also, as Neil will probably hopefully agree with, is that momentum's a really big thing for us as well. So we're going well. People just want to play, don't they? When momentum's
Absolutely.
going with you, and long may it continue.
Do you think that's a difficult decision now, though? Tomorrow night for Tim. With that sort of scenario now, does he go with a full strength team to play tomorrow? Because he'll want to go with a full strength side on Saturday, or will he? Will that not sort of come into his thinking, do you think?
I think we haven't got too many options, if we're totally honest with you. We've got a squad of around about 20 with four of them football and education young players. So we're not in a position really where we can pick and choose. So knowing Tim will try and win that game tomorrow night with the best possible side, with perhaps one eye on Saturday. But the league is really important for us as well. We'd like to get out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with it, I'm just having a quick flick through. I'm just looking at there. I mean, sitting in third, and you've got the Harbour Town and Kettering just sitting in there above you. But it's a tough league, the central, isn't it?
You look at the league this year with, you just mentioned Harborough, Kettering, Spalding, Riyadh Bedford, with the income that's the revenue that's been paid out to players in our league now, even from the time that I started in it 4 years ago, is in some cases more than some League Two clubs, without any shadow of a doubt. We know what some of the players are on. We know the signing on fees that have been offered. For us, little old Alverchurch, to be competing, then we're quite proud of what we're doing and how we go about it.
Are you surprised with Royal Bedford though? Because I mean, they're sitting in 13th. I mean, I know most people that I spoke to thought they were just going to, go through step four and then go into step three and just go straight through to step three as well. But I struggled a little bit.
Well, starting off, yeah, I mean, there's no easy ride in the league, is there? People think that we all thought they'd come in and hit the ground running, but what you can bet is because of the resource they've got, they'll do something about it, and they'll be able to do something about it as the season goes on. So we just need to keep ahead of steam and try and stay as far ahead of them as we possibly can at this stage, because you would think they'll be there or thereabouts.
So, I mean, and I think the other thing as well, I've noticed this time of year as well, especially if you're staying in the FA Cup and you're staying in the trophy, you don't play a league game, do you?
Well, that's it, and you get behind, don't you? You get behind with league games, and then when it comes to the winter, historically, we have a bit of a reputation for some of the games being called off, down there, and we don't want that. The chairman and the board have put a lot of finance into the pitch this year to try and make that better, particularly for those times, because you're quite right, we could be going really well and then be way behind with our games. And we want to try and alleviate that sort of situation.
Because I mean, I know, we talked about Waltham Abbey earlier on. Lowestoft have happened to come down to the Abbey now in midweek, and then because of an FA Cup game, Waltham Abbey next weekend have got to go to Wroxham,
Oh,
on a Tuesday night. Do you know what I mean? So a good
a hell of a
2 hour
trek,
journey.
isn't it?
It's a from where we are to Wroxham. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Wroxham, but it's one of those sort of places where you don't particularly want to be travelling up on a. Literally on a Tuesday night,
No
but
chance.
that's the average. And someone said to me last week, you'd think that leagues, and I don't know how Neil feels about this as well, that would look at, right, that's a cup weekend, the earlier cup weekends, and go, what we don't want to do is put, I'll use Waltham Abbey because I know where we are. So you don't want to put Waltham Abbey against Lowestoft. You don't want Waltham Abbey against Wroxham on one of those weekends when there's a possibility that there could be an FA Cup game or an FA Trophy game, so you end up dumping it onto a Tuesday night.
No, exactly. And you dread that, don't you, when the fixtures come out and you have a look at the Tuesday night ones, and in our case, you're away at Leiston or Lowestoft when they were in our division, and you think, oh God. But you've got to get them out of the way as well. You've got to get them out of the way, and you've got to get what you can from them and just take it as it is.
What's the furthest journey for yourself, Mark?
I believe Leiston.
Right.
Yeah, I think Leiston's still the furthest one for us.
So not as bad as Truro The
Oh
other
no,
way then,
no.
from
Funny enough,
Truro to Carlisle, and
my
it
lad's on loan
was
at
a
my son's on loan at Boston, and he had that trip to Truro a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. That's a right jaunt.
Well, the guy from Merthyr will tell you they had to go to Macclesfield, and they went all the way to Macclesfield. And when he came on the show, he came on the show on the Monday, and he didn't get home till 4 o'clock on. They didn't get home till 4 o'clock in the morning. It was
Oh.
just crazy. Do you know what I mean?
Hello.
All the way from Merthyr to Macclesfield and back. Luckily, they won the game, but no disrespects. It's a bit of a trek, isn't it?
Oh, not off. Not off.
So Neil, I mean, last time we spoke, of course, you was at Cray Wanderers. So to tell us, how did all that come about? So how did it all come about from Cray Wanderers to Crawley Town?
Very, very, very quickly. Literally. Obviously, I've known Scott for years. We were at Gillingham together. We played together. Always kept in contact, social media and whatnot, and Christmas and keeping in touch. And then out of the blue, obviously he went to MK Dons, didn't go down so well. And I just messaged him. I can't believe it. They've done it in such a short space of time. Not giving you really any time. I think it was 5 months to sort of settle in and get what you want. With your squad and stuff like that, we just had a cup of coffee, and that was pretty much it. And then, literally, got a phone call probably Thursday morning saying that he might be getting a job, and would I be interested in the league? And I've missed out. I've not missed out. I'd sort of spoken to him a few years beforehand, and circumstances weren't right at the time, and they were now. And it was one of them where team training Thursday night, preparing for a game, and then got a phone call around about 9:30, 9:45 saying, "Would you want to come aboard to Crawley?" Which it was a no-brainer. So, I spoke to the chairman straight after training, explained the situation, and Gary was amazing, as was Michael Pay. And yeah, so from Thursday night prepping for a game, I think it might have been one of the Essex sides, can't think off the top of my head, to then preparing for Bristol Rovers Friday morning. And it was just a quick turnaround. And I can't thank Crawley enough for asking me to get on board. But basically, I can't thank Cray as well for also allowing me to have that experience going back into League Two.
How,
One at a time.
yeah, how, I mean, how's it been for you going
Yeah. Yeah,
this
it was,
year?
obviously went in there last year to try and keep them up. I think we had 9 games. We were 12 points adrift. We literally took it to the last game of the season and missed out by a point on staying up in League One. And League Two, we've got in. Obviously, there's been a lot of turnaround in players. So we just sort of gelling. We didn't get off to a great start. We've had a good couple of games and sort of got a bit of momentum going. But then we had obviously a poor result on the Saturday. So yeah, we go again, and he's very good. He's a very good manager, a very good coach, Scott. We've got Jamie Day in as well, who's worked with him before, and we've got a good set of boys, and we just got to try and get that consistency from one in training, explaining how the club want to play, but also producing on a Saturday.
And then, of course, in a few weeks' time, I mean, for me, the one that stands out for me, of course, because it's my dad's team and my brother's team, you're going to be going to the old Betwright Stadium for the EFL Trophy against Leyton Orient.
That's right. Yeah, obviously we played them last season. They were one of the teams in the last sort of 9 games that we had that we needed a win at home, and it was a good game. They got a very good team down there, and we took it all the way. I think it was 4-3 in the end, and we just missed out on that one. But yeah, can't wait to go down them again. We played Swansea the other week, give them a good game. Unfortunately, we lost to that in the EFL, but yeah, it'd be nice going back to Leyton Orient. Fantastic stadium, good manager, good players.
I'm going to have to check to see what I'm doing on that night because I've got no finger. I just have to check to see where if I'm working or if I'm not, I might pop down.
Be lovely to see you. Be
Give you a
lovely
bit of
to see
stick
you.
from behind the back of
Yeah. I'm
that.
used to that. I'm used to that. But yeah, it'd be good. It'd be great to see you. So hopefully you can get down there.
So, with it though, Neil, I mean, was that decision, speaking to Gary, was that tough to speak to him? Because, you were sort of, in that respect, so not going to say in love with Craig, but you were part of the, you part of the sort of, you, what's the word I'm looking for? You fitted in really, really well down there. And
Yeah,
you stayed in.
I've known Gary obviously beforehand, when he was coming down watching the Bromley games. Obviously, they shared the ground as well, so I was always seeing him around when I was the manager at Bromley. Obviously, then I took a year out, spent a lot of time with the family, and then he invited me back in, and it was to try and generate some momentum with the club. Obviously, trying to get that that ground across the line as well, and I know how desperately he wanted that pitch, and so with Michael and the other directors. So there was a lot going off on it. We tried to, I wanted to try and set up an academy, like we were saying like earlier with Mark, and trying to bring those youth players through with the education side of it, with the football. Wanted to try and do it like we did at Bromley, in the early days. Didn't work out. Then it was just with the first team, and it was a difficult decision, because I got on really well with the owners. And I wouldn't have taken the club for any other club if it wasn't for the owners. As I say, I've had other offers from clubs in higher divisions, but Gary was a good friend, and I wanted to help him out as much as possible. And I look at them now, sitting seventh in the league as well. They're doing really well. They've got their new stadium, and it's not new now. It's used, and they're getting a good set of supporters down behind there. They're getting a following. The women are doing amazing. The girls' football's blooming. So, I feel like I've gone down there and still helped them out, even though, at the end of the day, I did take the decision to get into the league, because those decisions and opportunities don't come round a lot. So, especially being at my age, I didn't want to miss out again.
That's a hypothetical question, though. You go into Crawley in the next couple of weeks, and all of a sudden you lose your physio. You're going to give Ali a call?
Oh, Ali's amazing. She's amazing. As I said off screen, I've stayed in contact with all of them, all the players, and the staff down there. Tim O'Shea, I think he's doing a fantastic job. The owners, I've bumped into them and seen them, and I only wish them really, success, because they are a brilliant club. They're run by brilliant people, and Ali, I remember talking to her at her house with her mum and dad there. They're just genuinely lovely people, and I really want them to do well, and any opportunity I can get to go down and watch them and show my support, I've gone.
I mean, Mark, Ali's actually the physio down at Cray Wanderers. She's on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she's probably one of the, and present company's good because I don't know what your physio is like or anything like that, whatsoever at Alvechurch, but she's got to be easily in the top two best physios in non-league football. She's just absolutely outstanding, with what she does. And she don't seem to be a month that goes past when she's not actually being physio for Cray, but someone's fallen over or someone's had a life-threatening experience in the crowd somewhere or something, and she's there trying to save their lives and does it every single time. She's just that type of person. She's very hands-on, and she's very much an incredible woman.
Yeah, she's amazing. We'd be training on a Thursday night, and obviously we had to share the pitch with the women's team. So the women's team had one half; we'd only have the other half. And if someone was injured with the women, it was a case of can you Ali have a look at them? It was like, yeah, no problem. Giving them the treatment they needed, then giving them the rehab as well. And it was just she was just amazing. And she. Anybody she could help outside of being in the football game as well, she would do as well. She's just a generally, fantastic person. And as I say, I try and keep in touch with as much as I can. But when I do see her, it's brilliant.
So,
Sounds amazing.
yeah, she really is a lovely girl. She really is. But I mean, I always say to her, I'm surprised why you're not in like professional football. And she did say to me, I think it was, her words were something along the lines of, when I spoke to her a couple of weeks ago on the show, I'm too old now. She said, I'm going to have to stick with the NHS.
Yeah, she's not too old, but yeah, I think she we need her in the NHS as well, to be fair. She's amazing.
But I mean, with Crawley, though, I mean, going forward, I mean, do you see, yourself sort of pushing up the table and getting up there towards the playoffs and getting a chance of getting back into League One?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. You know, I know the manager is desperate to do well. You know, he's every day we go in, you know, like for instance today, we lost Saturday. We've gone in, we've deep dissected the game with the players. You know, we've gone through everything that we possibly can. You know, where it went wrong, how we can put it right. Training's been planned every day for, you know, right up until the game on Saturday, and he leaves no stone unturned how we can, you know, try and do the best for our players as much as ourselves. And yeah, he's a winner, you know, and I'm hoping that's why he's got me in there, because, you know, he feels like I'm a winner too, and we can do the best we can. You know, the circumstances are a little bit different. You've got some massive clubs in there. You know, played Notts County on Saturday. They're pulling in 9,000 supporters, and you've got some massive clubs in there again as well. MK Dons, you know, being one of them again. But yeah, we're giving the best chance. You know, obviously we're not there to make the numbers up, believe me. You know, we want to do the best we can, and you know, we have had a setback on Saturday, but we'll be going. You know, we've got a home game against Barrow on Saturday, and we'll be going all out, you know, to try and win that game.
That's a journey and a half as well, isn't it? Barrow to Crawley.
Yeah, well, they're coming to us, so
Don't
they've
play
got
there.
to, yeah, they're gonna have to put up with it first. But yeah, we've got that one to come. But when you see Carlisle go down, you have a little sigh of relief, because that, you know, I remember doing those journeys with Gillingham as a player, and they weren't pleasant. But the players get looked after. They get, you know, they get good hotels. We have good travel. The sports science side of things and the food and everything else is amazing. And as I say, no, there's nothing that the players need any more than, you know, just hopefully producing on a Saturday afternoon or a Tuesday night.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the players. Who's the ones for us to look out for then down in Crawley?
Well, we've got a great keeper in Harvey Davis. We've got him on loan from Liverpool, and they feel really highly of him. You know, I think he's a good goalkeeper. And funny enough, they had to speak to the manager to see how we played, and they, you know, for him to come in, because he is a ball playing, goalkeepers, like they all are now. That, you know, more and more of them are going down that way, and obviously the way Liverpool play. So, you know, you've got that. You've got the experience in Dion Conroy. We've just signed Scott Malone, who's played for, you know, Millwall, been in the Premier League up front. You know, we've got Harry McCurdy, who seems to be in a bit of form at the moment. But they're all these players that are just hungry to be playing, and you know, they're young lads with a few experienced players alongside them that are coming through. But you know, there's some exciting players. We've got Dion Pereira. We've got, you know, Addie on both wings. We've got Harry Forster, who I had at Bromley, who, you know, they're attacking players, and you know, that's the way Scott wants to play. He wants to play attacking football, but also, you know, by passing it around and keeping possession, and you know, hopefully getting the wins on the back of it.
Mark, is it something that makes it easy for you to get players in with having such a, you know, a famous bloke in charge of the team in Tim Flowers?
I think it certainly doesn't do any harm. And just listening to Neil talk there, I was just thinking about our loan players that we've had. We've had two, and another one today from Forest Green, from Robbie Savage, and they lent us a centre half, who we're just about to extend, and they lent us a striker, a young lad called Jose Marquez, and he came in and he scored six in six, which was great, but also it went against us when we wanted to extend, because he's now gone back in with them. But again today we've loaned another player from them, getting the paperwork done at the moment. But they've been absolutely fantastic, between Robbie Savage, Dan the academy manager, and Mark Bowen, the director of football. They've been fantastic, and I think Tim's relationship with the academy professional development phase coach Jan, who he worked with at Northampton, I think that's really helped us in getting these players into us. I have to say, Neil, keep a watch out for the young lad at Jose Marquez. I haven't seen a finisher like him for a long, long time. He's instinctive. Bearing in mind, we played Leamington at step two in the last round of the FA Cup and beat them 3-0. He got all three goals.
Wow.
Every one, right foot, left foot header. They were absolute class goals, and he's really, really instinctive, and he's still 19. So
Wow.
he's done really well, but they've nabbed him back. We can't have him again, so
Yeah.
unfortunately. So it's worked for him, and It certainly worked for us at the time as well because he scored 6 in 6. So
Yeah,
yeah.
they're so important, some of those loan signings. You're getting them right. And as you say, you make that relationship with the football clubs. You know, I had to when I was at Bromley, you know, let borrowing players from, you know, the likes of Millwall and Charlton, all those local clubs that were around us. And you have to do your best by them. But you know that at the end of the day, if they do really well, you are going to have to say goodbye to them because,
Yeah,
you know, they're
absolutely.
going back straight back into the first team. And then you've got to look for the next Jose Marquez and, you know, and you've got to do a lot of you're continuously looking at the next player because you know if they do really well, they're going back.
I remember
Absolutely.
as a kid, we went down to Southend in when I was with Harlow. We went to Southend in the Essex Senior Cup. Went down there, and there was like a fair old crowd down there, and they were struggling for a striker at the time. And Harlow had a striker called Alex Reid, who, when I was doing the tanner, I nicknamed him the Machine, and it seemed to stick because every time he did an interview, they didn't call him by his name, just called him the Machine. But you know, we went in there, and I had a Harlow shirt on with the Machine on the back, number 9, etc., etc. Walked into Southend, and a couple of the fans around me were going, "Who's this Alex Reid then? Where is he? Putting him out to us, putting him out to us." You know, he said, because we're desperate for a striker. And most of the Arlo fans thought that they're going to end up losing him to Southend that night. Anyway, he came on at least hit a blinder within the first 5 minutes as well. We went 1-0 up. Came away from that game, and in the next home game we had, we'd actually got a lone player from them who played in that game, a centre half called Daniel Matsuka, who went on to play at, he was at Hendon just recently. And he played, and it was in the season when Harlow went all the way to the. To I think we've needed a market, and they've both scored. Both clubs scored over 100 goals. Both clubs scored over 100 points, and Harlow didn't get promoted because they lost in the playoffs. But he played in that game, and he made one little slip in the first few minutes against Needham Market, where the striker got through. And after that, he had him in his pocket literally the whole game, and they saw his performance on that day, and he was in back playing for Southend 2 weeks later on the bench against Hartlepool. You know, and it was just crazy, and a bit unlike what Mark said, they loaned him back to us for the semi-final of the playoffs against Thurrock, and we lost. And I remember this young lad standing in the dugout, sorry, in the tunnel, as I walked down to go back into the dressing rooms, and he's come up to me with a tear in his eye, apologising to me because he didn't get us in, didn't get us up. It
Oh
just
no, yeah.
And went on to play for the Japanese under 23s and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, a good little player. But it'll be interesting. There's some good ones out there. I mean, you got any good loan players yourself, though, Neil? Come in.
Good. Yeah, as I say, we try to hit the market and still are. You know, there's obviously the window and stuff like that, so it's hard to get players in at the moment. But as I say, he's Harvey Davis, the goalkeeper, you know, been
Yeah,
doing extremely well for
do
us.
you use your knowledge though non-league as well though? Do you can you if there's people there
Yeah,
that.
they're one of those clubs that, you know, we don't have a B team, we don't have a reserves, we don't have a 21. So, you know, sometimes you have to go out into the non-league game. So Addy, who I was just his second name, I can't pronounce it, but he came from Cray Valley 2 years ago. He's at this moment in time, he's playing really, really well. And and they've done it with a couple of other boys that have come in from non-league, and then they've moved them on, and then you have to find the next one. So yeah, no, we're always looking. Doesn't matter what league they're in, you know, you find that if the stats are doing really well, they're putting numbers, you know, whether they're scoring goals or they're stopping goals and stuff like that. So they do look at the stats all from all divisions, not just League One, League Two, and Championship. They do look down in the Championship, National League, National South, even Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting though, how many chairmen, how many managers are kicking themselves with missing out on that Richard Koné from Athletic Newham down at step 5.
Well, there's players out there, and then it's just you've got to take the gamble on them, and you just hope they come through. You know, we've signed a couple of young players. You know, one was Fate. He was at Tottenham as a young kid. Sort of lost his way. He's coming on trial. We're taking him on, and he's doing really well in the training side. And we've just got to find games to blood him a little bit. So he obviously played when we played the other week in the EFL Virtue Cup, just to give him some time. He did well. And we had another young lad called Jude, a 17-year-old, literally. And you do you, you there's players out there that you sort of you try and bring them in, and hopefully you can try and develop. But as I say, without a B team or a reserves, it's hard to find them game time. So these Virtue Cups, the local cups and stuff like that are, great examples of giving them a chance to show us what they can do.
I mean, that Richard Coney, I mean, he's pulling up everything, isn't he? I'm up at Queen's Park Rangers now and smashing him in up there.
Yeah, but I think Queen's Park Rangers are one of those teams that do take them from non-league. They do have a look at them. They bring them in. You've only got to look at Eze. Couldn't find a club. He was going into all these trials, didn't take him. They took the gamble on him, and look at him now. Setting up the goal, the equaliser yesterday, playing for England, and yet at 15, 16, he was getting turned away from every club that there was.
And Arteta's got to play him as a number 10. Anyway, that's beside the point.
Well, that's down to
But
you.
just joined us, of course. He's got a smile on his face. I was wondering if he was going to be a bit depressed today. But of course, great coach down at Merthyr, mate. And but I mean, listen, as you said before, it's a learning experience for Merthyr, isn't it? And and I thought for me, and I don't know if you saw it, it was a fan, very disgruntled fan on there yesterday, saying because you'd lost the game, and I'm thinking to, but that just proves the point that you've come so far that your fans are still expecting you to pull up roses even in the Vanarama, well not Vanarama anymore, the Enterprise North.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I haven't really been on social media this weekend since Saturday. A couple of reasons. My brother's just done an Ironman in Tenby, so we've been at Tenby all weekend, and it's not a great signal, but it saved me because, yeah, I'm glad I haven't had to read the criticism that's been coming our way. Yeah, look, it's tough. I mean, as you say, you win the league, have a great season, 32 games unbeaten, you go up the league. You haven't got any right to go ahead and beat sides in our league, but that's not how football works, unfortunately. It's a huge, huge jump up from where we were. And we're going to win. We will win plenty of games, but we'll lose plenty of games. And it's going to be a very up and down season, and supporters are going to have to get used to that and be patient. And it's a young squad. I keep saying when I come on here week after week, it's a young squad. It is a huge learning curve for everybody else, as the staff, the players, and supporters as well. So it was disappointing, the manner of it Saturday. That was the biggest issue. And we've lost 5-0 at home. You're going to have criticism from supporters. They pay their money. They're entitled to their opinion. It's absolutely fine. Doesn't mean it's nice to read, but it wasn't nice Saturday, to be on our touchline while the game was going on either. So yeah, it's part of the football. You have to accept it, and we're all quick to take the plaudits when it goes well. You have to be prepared to take the criticism when it doesn't, unfortunately.
And we were talking a couple of weeks ago about, oh, let's hope it can end up being, an FA Cup game, Merthyr against Waltham Abbey, or the other way round, and then the team not too far up the road end up pulling you. Oh.
Yeah, tough draw as well again. So there's certainly no easy games this season, and it's the way you want it. I know, you want that challenge. You want to look forward to it. Every game's a big game. But yeah, it is a tough one Saturday. So not far from here yet, but yeah, we look forward to Saturday, and just wish we were playing tonight rather than Saturday to get last Saturday out of the system, to be honest.
Hampton and Richmond Borough, if anybody's asking who you're playing. But and of course, the other good thing is, especially with having a League Two assistant manager on, that Ricardo didn't score at the weekend, so he doesn't know too much about
Yeah,
him.
I don't think he had more than 3 or 4 touches, to be fair. But not I can't blame him for that. When you're up top, you're relying on service of others, and it's just one of those days. It happens. So yeah, nothing to see here, to be honest.
And then you get the FA Cup, and then of course after you're going away to Chester.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We'll take good support, I think. I think we've just filled our second coach to support us to go. The two coach loads, the minibus, there's a lot of cars, if you're going on trains. So we'll take, I would imagine, over 200 to Chester with us, which is just incredible for this level of football. I know there's a lot of interest from a lot of Wrexham supporters coming to cheer on Merthyr as well, so I'm not sure how that will go. Obviously with the rivalry they've got there. Yeah, looking forward to it. But as I say, every game's a big game, and we're looking forward to every game at the moment. Just new to everybody, so it's a fresh challenge, and we'll see what each weekend brings.
And of course, if you win this weekend, there is another little bonus in there as well, isn't there? Because if you win this weekend, am I right in saying the next round's the 11th of October?
I believe so, yeah, I believe
Yeah, which
so.
then means that gives you a little bit of advantage. And why we say it gives a little bit of advantage, Neil and Mark, on that day they're supposed to be playing South Shields at home. So they'll have to travel on a Tuesday night. So that could be.
I just glad it's not away, because if we're going there on a Tuesday night, that's even more. Top two's half full time, so it's not easy, I know, but we're not full time, so if we had to do that on a Tuesday night, that creates a whole lot of problems for us.
And you got what? I mean, even coming up in October now, we've got Chester on the 4th. Then, well, we're hoping it's a fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup on the 11th. And then the 18th, it's Spennymoor Town away. How far is that?
Far enough for us, it to be our first overnight of the season. We can't afford many, to be fair. I think we're doing four overnight overnighters this season. But Spennymoor is one. So I think the plan is we leave on a Friday. I think we're stopping in Leeds on a Friday night for our meal and get our heads down. And then we do the rest of the trip on a Saturday morning, which is about 1 hour and 20, I believe, up to Spennymoor from there. So yeah, that's the first of our overnighters.
And then Kidderminster at home and then Chorley away.
Yeah, tough. Like I said, every game's so tough. It's certainly no easy game. So yeah, we'll be in training this week, and obviously we've got a lot to work on after last week. So we'll get the boys in. We'll have two good sessions this week, and then we'll be good to go. We if we'd won Saturday, I think we would have won every game in September. We have to put some perspective into it and say, look, we've come up a league. I believe it's 5 wins, 4 losses, and we've won in the FA Cup. It's not a horrendous start to the season. It was
No.
just the manner of the performance and the result on Saturday, which all of a sudden dark clouds are circling again then, and everything you hate about football kicks off, and then you get a win in another game, and it's the best sport in the world, and your week is set up lovely, and you can't wait to bump into people and talk about football again. So yeah, it is what it is.
Well, I mean, sitting at eighth place, you've got 15 points in your first 9 games. You can't, nothing to be sniffed at, is
No,
it?
absolutely not. If we'd have taken our start at the beginning, and as I keep saying, it was just the manner of the performance and the results Saturday. If we've lost that game 1-0 Saturday, it's all unlucky, and we've done really well. It's a great start. You lose 5-0. It was a poor performance from all of us. As a group, it was. We know that. There's no excuses there. But it's just, like you say, a lot of criticism comes your way, and understandably, you've lost 5-0. People paying money to come and watch, and we haven't performed as a group on Saturday. And I say a group, I include us as staff in that as well. So we're all under the microscope at the moment, and that's the way it should be. So yeah, it's been a good start. It's been a good start, and we can't complain where we are. We're starting to go up. I think at the start we were favourites to finish bottom and get relegated straight away. That could still happen. I'm not saying that. We won 5 games at the end of that. We'll be in the top four, far from that. But I think we've started better and surprised a few sides already. Confidence builds. We know we can compete with these sides without making excuses. We had starting 11 from previous games injured, and we're only running with a squad of about 18 players at the moment because we can't afford to keep a bigger squad. Saying we don't have a reserve team, we don't. It's difficult, so we drag a couple of the under-19s boys in, but obviously there's levels to it, and with us going up a league, it's difficult again. So it didn't help us that the two key players are out Saturday, so we look to get at least one back within the next couple of weeks, and we'll go again, and we'll dust ourselves off and show a little bit of resilience now, and let's have another go again in a week or two time.
Well, I mean, the rumours are, someone's just tweeted in and said, the rumours are if you was to lose to Hampton and Richmond Borough on Saturday, South Shields are actually setting off on Sunday morning just to make sure they get there in time.
A very good point. Yeah. It's such a long trip, isn't it? You can't imagine. Even if you stay overnight, you still got to travel at the end of the day. So it's a hell of a commitment. And yeah, it's yeah, I think we've got them our last away game of the season. Yeah, we've got a while yet to have to plan and prepare for this one.
21st of March.
Yeah, I knew it was late on, so I'll be honest, it's not a trip I'm looking forward to at the moment. But let's see where we are then. If there's anything on the game or is it? I mean, all I say is South Shields away could be a great night out after the game in Newcastle if it's gone all right. So we'll put a positive on the spin on it and look forward to that.
I mean, you just made a point there about how big these teams are, in the league. And when you actually, sort of stature wise and money wise, if you put it into that sort of thing, and you look from the 10th of March, you have Chester at home, so ex league team, South Shields, then you've got Hereford away, Macclesfield at home. You see, last three games, Hereford away, Macclesfield at home, and Scarborough away.
Yeah, but that's what we
Crazy.
wanted.
Yeah.
It's what we wanted. It's what the fans wanted. It's what the players wanted. The staff, everybody. That's where you want to be. You want to be testing yourself against the better teams, and that's what we're doing. And we played Macclesfield a couple of weeks back on Tuesday night, 1-3-1, and people are saying now that was one of the best results they can remember as since becoming a Merthyr fan. Obviously, there's the Atalanta one. It's a pretty big game when he played them, but I mean. In recent times, that is it. To go away to Matterfield on a Tuesday night and come away with a 3-1 win was massive because of the size of the club, what they've achieved in recent years and all those things. So that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be competing. It's not always going to go your way. And, you can win leagues. Like I said, we went 32 games unbeaten. You can get spoilt as staff, as players, as supporters and think, just turn up, we win a game. Football doesn't work like that. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. And the moment you start thinking that, it all comes undone very quickly. So it's great challenges for us. It really is. But we look forward to it.
So, what was Paul's reaction, from the game at the Gaffer? What was his reaction to the game? Because everything's going swimmingly, and then all of a sudden, it's the
Yeah,
first
look,
little hurdle.
we didn't see it coming Saturday, to be honest. We trained in a week, and Tuesday night's training session, I would say. Is the best the level, the standard was the best that I've witnessed in however many years. It was incredible. It was one and two touch. We just looked so good Tuesday. It was a joy watching the session going on while the players were playing, and it was amazing. And then providing that performance started, we just didn't see it coming. It was, and what we have to realise in it was nil nil till the 39th minute, and then it was 3-0 at half time, and the game was over. It was, we've listen, taken nothing away from them. They were a good team. They were well set up. They were fit. They looked sharp. They looked dangerous on the break. But from our point of view, we have gifted them 3 goals. And, you can see it after 39 minutes and you think, right, okay, no problem. We're 1-0 down at half time. Just get the half time. We're still in this game. No problem at all. We've changed a few things. And then we concede 90 seconds later. Then we concede an injury time of the first half. And I mean, it's so difficult to do in half time. So, it was a few raised voices, obviously, in the changing rooms half time, as you can imagine, and then quickly a plan to go to the second half and hope for some improvement. And it didn't happen. It was one of those days where I don't think anybody can come off that field from our point of view and say they played well. And that's not something we've been able to say in recent times since Paul's been at the club as manager, to be fair. So we have to kind of give the boys that. They had an incredible season last season. They've had a great start to this season. They've had an off day. It happens. It's not the end of the world. Obviously, the manager's disappointed and frustrated and angry and all those emotions that come with losing a football match. Well, that's all. But put it into some perspective, we've lost 3 points. If we lose 1-0 and people go unlucky, and you still only lost 3 points. So, Paul's very, very level-headed and laid back and calm, and he look at things objectively, and we'll have a plan, we'll have a meeting this week, and we'll look to put it right this week. He's very good at doing that, to be fair to him.
Neil, I mean, what do you do when results like that come up and sort of slip up without you knowing it's going to happen?
Well, we had one Saturday.
Hmm.
Again, we were in a similar situation. We were nil nil in the 42nd minute, going into half time, give a sloppy goal away, and then we end up losing the game 4-0. And it's a hard one to take. You don't the results and the performances that we've been putting in before that, you wouldn't have seen it coming. And in training, the boys are phenomenal in training. And as I say, the preparation the manager gives them as well. And sometimes you have to, you don't like it. You come in Monday, like I said, we've had a big chat about it. We showed clips of what we didn't like and what we do like, and it's got to be a response, and that's what you hope for. You hope for, and straight afterwards in training, the boys look really sharp. But again, it's a hard one when you don't expect it, when everything's been, prepped right, everything's been given to them, the instructions, it's all been clear. And sometimes that it just happens, and you have to sort of dust yourself down very quickly. And I agree, you'd love to have a game on a Tuesday, so you're not thinking about it for too long, and you just get the Monday out straight away, and then you're prepping for Tuesday, and you forget about it. You only like the long weeks when you've won a game. So
Oh, we lost him. Lost his. We've actually lost your volume, mate. That
you got me?
back again now. Yeah, you're back
Yeah,
there.
yeah. So yeah, so it's one of them where you have to sort of clear the air, get everything out the way, get it out in the open, have your chat, and then put it on one side and start prepping for the next game, and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Mark, have you had any of them from your position in the club?
Sorry, in terms of what?
Results like that where you don't see them coming?
Oh, 100%. You've always got results like that you don't see coming. But it's about just getting over it and bouncing back, isn't it? Not dwelling on it for too long, and just making sure that you stick to all the things that have served you so well for the majority of the time, and then getting back to that again.
Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, I've really enjoyed tonight. The time has actually flown by. I really enjoyed your company tonight, Mark, for the first time. It's fantastic. And
Thank you, likewise.
I hope you do well against Worcester tomorrow night. And then, of course, the big game on Saturday against Chelmsford City. Really do hope you go there and get a win there. And
Thank you, David. Thank you.
of course, Neil, always a pleasure, sir. Always fantastic. Stay on, because I've got something to ask you when we finish. And of course, Craig, mate. Tune up, we're going to go again, and I know we'll win at the weekend.
Hopefully, that's the plan. That's the plan.
And there's still that fourth round of the FA, qualifying round of the FA Cup to look forward to. If we can beat Maldon and you can beat Hampton and Richmond Borough, there's still a chance.
It could happen, mate. It should be great. It could happen. Fingers crossed, eh?
It's still there, yeah. We've got to beat Maldon first. That's going to be a tough ask with the amount of money that's flying around down there. But we'll do our best. But as I said, thank you. From everybody watching again tonight, it's been a pleasure, and we will see you all again next week. Until then, good night.